Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our only way from this veil of tears here on earth to the glorious eternal joy of heaven, dear fellow redeemed. Ever been on the wrong road? I remember when my wife and I were on our honeymoon, we went to New York. We were going to go to the Statue of Liberty. We came in from the southwest. I was on the highway, and I saw off to the east Ellis Island. So I took the turn to the right, which I thought would take us there. We took two more turns, and all of a sudden, guess what? We were back in the same spot with Ellis Island to the right. We were back where we started at the beginning. After a little bit of embarrassing laughter, we finally found the right road to turn off on and got to Ellis Island. Ever been to Chicago Loop? As you approach it, you see roads going everywhere, four levels high. If you look down from the sky, it looks like a mass of cars just going in every direction. But if you're on the right road, you follow turns and the curves, the signs and the directions, getting through Chicago is not as hard as one imagines. Well, this morning, to all the people that are looking for the way, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But what is the way? And what is the place to which that way leads? Well, those two questions were also bothering Thomas and the disciples after Jesus said those words. Those words were spoken on Monday, Thursday evening after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper. Then he spent some time comforting, strengthening, instructing, and preparing the disciples. In the verses just prior to our sermon text, Jesus said these words, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Jesus said the words that make up the first verse, And where I go, you know, and the way you know. One would think that after 3 years of following Jesus and hearing him speak to them day in and day out, they would have understood what Jesus was talking about. But they didn't. They thought Jesus was talking about a real place in this earth and a real road or a real way to go to that place. But Jesus was not talking about some big mansion with all kinds of rooms somewhere in Jerusalem or Capernaum. He wasn't talking about a real road to go to that place. He was talking about heaven, the heavenly kingdom of his Father, a place that has more than enough room for all people. Unfortunately, the disciples, in their spiritual blindness, didn't comprehend that. And they were looking for a physical kingdom, a physical earthly kingdom where they'd have an earthly king like Israel and like Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate when he was being interrogated? My kingdom is not of this world. And so since Jesus is speaking of a spiritual place, he's also speaking of a spiritual way to get to this place. And what does that mean? It means that we must reject any and every physical man-made way to get to heaven. And what does that mean? That means any human way, like doing good works, keeping the commandments, going to church, singing hymns, offering prayers, being really, really nice, trying to be as good as we can, giving and sharing, hurting ourselves, sacrificing ourselves, all those ways fall short and lead only to a dead end of eternal death, hell, and damnation. To get from this life to the next life is absolutely impossible for any of us to do by ourselves. It's like coming to the shore of the ocean and needing to get to the shore on the other side of the ocean all by yourself. You can't fly over it. You can't swim or float across it. You can't walk through it. If you try, you will drown and be destroyed. But we can make the leap from life to life only through Jesus. There's a story, a little boy who jumped in his dad's car. They're going to baseball practice. His dad drove him to practice. They got there. He says, "Oh, Dad, today's practice is where we play our games." And the father said, "Well, why didn't you tell me we're going the wrong way?" The little boy sheepishly said, "Because I didn't know it was the wrong way." Isn't that true when you were little kids? You didn't know which way you're going. You got in the car. Mom and Dad were the way. You got in the car and they drove to wherever you needed to go. You just trusted that they would go the right way. It's the same with Jesus. We trust Jesus as the way to take us to heaven. Without Jesus, we'd be hopelessly lost. We'd be wandering, lost throughout our whole lifetime with extreme futility. And we as believers need to be reminded about this over and over again so that we don't think that our way to heaven is somehow through a religious system of our own, like being a member of a Christian congregation or coming to hear God's word or saying our prayers or giving of our offerings. We're saved not through a system of our own, but we're saved through a person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. So the question is not, is my name on the membership of some Christian congregation? The question is not, do I have a certificate that shows I was baptized and confirmed in a Christian church? The question is not, have I given enough money to please God so that he is happy with me? The question rather is, do I believe the perfect God-man Jesus shed his blood to wash away all my sins? Am I sure that my name is written in the book of life because I trust in Jesus who conquered sin, death, and opened the door to heaven for me through his sacrifice? Do I believe that Jesus defeated all my spiritual enemies and because when I die, he'll take me from this life to everlasting life? Even as the children of Israel had only one way to go when they were there at the edge of the Red Sea, and behind them was the Egyptian army ready to destroy them. The one way was the way that God opened, miraculously, to cross dry ground. So also we have only one way to go from life to life with Satan and his evil angels and all the sinful world chasing after us. That one way is through the way that Jesus prepared by parting death and opening the road to heaven through him. The last line of our text this morning is one that will be torn out of our Bibles by the politically correct of our day. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is saying, the way of the Buddhist is wrong. The way of the Mohammedan is wrong. The way of the Jew is wrong. The way of the Hindu is wrong. In fact, the way of every other religion in the world that says there's other ways to get to the Father are all wrong. Jesus says, "I am the only way. The only way to the Father is through me." The Father sent his Son to take our place, to accomplish what we could not, and that is to live a perfect life of obedient love to all his commandments, and then to be the sacrifice, the payment for the sins of every single person in this world. And Jesus did that for us. And then God the Father raised Jesus from the dead to assure us that he accepted his Son's sacrifice. Therefore, there's no other way to get to the Heavenly Father than through Jesus. But we would not know of that way if there was not the truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the Word. And in John 17:17, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." In our first scripture reading this morning in Hebrews, Jesus says that he entered the most holy place to sacrifice himself for us before God. That is truth. Jesus also said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That is truth. Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That is truth. John writes, "But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." That is truth. And again, Paul writes, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us." That is truth. And this truth not only creates faith in our hearts and leads us to see with eyes the only way to life, it also strengthens and sustains us through that faith every day of our lives. This truth leads us to simply cling to Jesus, cling to his cross, look upon Jesus as the only substitute, the only way to everlasting life. We don't come to the Father by being like Jesus, that is, following his example. We come to the Father by and through Jesus, by trusting in him, relying upon his life, his death, his resurrection. It's through Jesus alone that we can come to the Father. And that's because Jesus is also the life. Because Jesus is the life, death has no power over him. When Jesus died, he conquered death. He rose back from the dead, and he gives us life forevermore as well through his word. Jesus clearly tells us that in John 3, verses 14 to 17. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Jesus is the only way to everlasting life. Jesus is the truth that leads to that only way. And he is the life that leads us through death to the eternal mansions above. If there is another way to pass from death to life, from sin and damnation to righteousness and holiness, from the misery of eternal death and damnation to everlasting life in heaven, then Christ means nothing. We might as well reject him, push him aside, and not look at his death and his life and his resurrection. And we can just leave right now. But Jesus, who is the truth, tells us he's the only way. The only way to heaven. What a contrast it is to the popular thought in the world today. There are many different gods, many different ways to get to eternal life, many different ways to get to the Father or whoever God you think is up there. Many different paths, many different ways. But Jesus says, there are no other paths. There is no other way. The way to heaven is exclusive. That means it excludes any other way. But the way to heaven is also inclusive. It includes everybody. Because Jesus died to pay for the sins of every single soul of the whole world. As we rapidly approach the celebration of the anniversary of our Savior's suffering, death, and resurrection, may these words be deeply impressed upon our hearts so that when we walk through this world, we walk hand in hand with our I Am Savior and look to Him as the truth, look to Him as the only way, and receive from Him eternal life. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, the only way. Amen.